Hello, and welcome to a Vashon Minute, where we take a moment to focus on one island issue or one island person at a time. I'm Susan McCabe, your host for this episode, where we're going to talk about a thorny national issue that is spreading its problems to our island. That is affordable housing. Just as the median price for a home on Vashon has hit $1 million, the government is threatening to cut HUD funding for Section 8 and low-income housing. Here to guide us through the weeds of the housing issue are Ann Atwell, board president for Vashon Household, and the newly appointed executive director of that organization, Amy Dreyer. Welcome to both of you, and thank you for sharing your precious time with a Vashon Minute.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us, Susan.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
You guys have a big job.
Indeed.
Yes, and welcome to your new big job, Amy.
Thank you. Yay. Thank you.
You couldn't have made a better choice.
Yeah, I know. I would agree.
Let's start with the question of HUD, that is Housing and Urban Development, grant money, and how much it supports Vashon Household.
Yeah, so that is it's a complex question, actually. Of course, we are heavily reliant on HUD overall as an agency. And it's not, you know, it's the funding cuts specifically to programs, right? But it's also the cuts to HUD itself that are threatening to us. For instance, even for programs that are retained, we have quite a bit of compliance and application work and follow-up work to do with that. And without enough staff there to do it, right? What's a program without staff to run it?
Oh.
So the first part of that is, yes, the 44% proposed cut to HUD overall is a problem, as are the elimination of Section 8 vouchers. So there are a number of our residents who carry Section 8 vouchers. And, you know, without that basically subsidy, you know, either we're finding a way to make up that operating income, right? Because, you know, we don't operate for a profit. And so the elimination of those is quite tricky. But we have a number of funding sources, and a lot of our funding is braided or stacked, right? Where maybe, you know, we have five different funding sources for one building,
for instance, that's good news. Yeah.
Like Island Center Home, but it's not, because many of the programs, it's not just HUD that's on the bubble here. But with those cuts, they will trickle down on us, right? Huh. To the state. Some of the things that you might consider HUD funding or state funding is actually HUD funding that is, you know, sort of has come down from the federal government. So there's that. And then the other piece is we also have buildings that are funded. So for instance, the USDA has actually affordable home funding, and we have to keep our eye over there as well, right? So State Commerce Department, the USDA, HUD, King County, right? We are receiving numerous funds, and as we know, all of those are under challenge.
That's true. And I need to back up because I'm kind of shocked. Did you say that Section 8 housing has been cut completely?
It's proposed. That'll get some pushback.
Is
we know
that
that'll
part
get
of the big,
pushback.
Beautiful budget bill?
Yes. the one big beautiful bill, depending on your perspective. Yes.
Absolutely.
And I'm just going to add to Amy's point about different funders. That's one thing about affordable housing that I've learned during my time on the board is each property has several different funders. So it does make it all very complex in terms of who we rely on for our funding for each property.
Tell me how many properties you guys have, and maybe you can describe the differences among them.
Let's see. We have three community land trust properties, and the Rose Ballin, Sunflower, and co-housing. And co-housing was our original, and that is partly Vashon Household, and it is partly privately owned individuals, but it was started as a Vashon Household project.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And each of these, Rose Ballin and Sunflower and co-housing, are houses, are single-family homes.
Owned homes. Okay. And the idea is that we own the land, and the homeowners own the homes, and they can sell them, but there's an agreement when they buy the homes that they can sell them. When they go to sell them, they can sell them at a percentage of the market rate. So that's one. And we love the community land trust model. We'd love to do more of that. But there's also a real need for rental housing, workforce housing, mm-hmm. In particular on the island. So for our rental properties, we have...
We have six now. Six different rental properties. So we have Charter House, JG Commons, Earnesy, Islander Apartments, Island Center Homes, and Mukai Commons. And that's 128 rental units altogether.
That's a lot. Are they all full?
Island Center Homes is... the others are. And we have a long wait list. Island Center Homes is our newest property, mm-hmm. and we are currently trying to fill those properties. And that's complicated in itself because of our different funders. So we have some of those properties, because it was funded partially by the King County Veterans and Seniors and Disability Grant. I forget the official name of mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, the levy.
The levy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were initially, and I think still are, we have 20 of the 40 apartments available there need to go to veterans. And so we are working to fill those with veterans. And Amy, you can speak more to that because you're a little more current on that.
And that is the building on 188th and Vashon Highway, mm-hmm. correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other important sort of restriction on that is that it's 30% of area median income. So it's veterans who make 30% of area median income, which is about $88,000 in King County.
30%?
Yeah. So
is
it is
88,000.
Yeah. So Island Center Homes is really designed to be, it's technically called permanent supportive housing, and it is designed for the most vulnerable among us.
Are some of the homeless folks that we see on the island able to live there?
Absolutely.
Have they moved in?
Mm-hmm. That's great news. Absolutely. No, I'm so happy to see some folks that, you know, I know from just being around for a long time who have struggled with housing, see them settled in at Island Center and see them doing really well.
That is great news. That's something that, well, I think you can be proud of all of this. So tell me what the impact would be on your residents in all these 128 units if HUD pulled all its money.
It's deep and complicated, right? It's always easy to give a quick answer, but it's harder to give a complex and correct and important answer. And we're, again, there's complexities around HUD itself, right? And it's HUD, it's federal funding, it's state funding, and all of these things are facing challenges, right? So what we know is that the proposal is to cut HUD by 44%. And then take what is left and give it as block grants to the states. And we are not at all sure that the distribution of block grants will be done equitably, right? So that means that it's a very unstable future for us, which is hard to plan for in the first place. But it's not just the organization, right? It's the folks who live in these homes.
Yes.
That uncertainty is extremely destabilizing, and we don't know. We honestly can't say right now. We're working on some contingencies. We're imagining it. But it is very difficult for an organization to say what happens when a substantial chunk of your operating budget, when you have hard physical assets, right? Yeah. We can't cut programs. There is really not much for us to cut except housing. And we are also not... we can't just raise rents either, right? Because of our covenants and because of grant restrictions. So it's an impossible question to answer, Susan. I'm going to say that. It really
kind of
is
an impossible situation to be in at the moment.
It is. Yeah. But we are committed to figuring it out and keeping our folks in homes.
I'm going to venture to say, Amy, and I'm going to, I think that our senior population would be hit the hardest if HUD
really
were. I think so. Amy, maybe you can, if am I
Because a lot of our housing is occupied by seniors, right? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of seniors in our homes, right? Mm-hmm. So it'll sort of fall proportionately on those folks. And, you know, the other piece, too, that we're looking at is the Medicaid cuts, Medicare cuts, right? All of the other wraparound services, Social Security, insecurity, all of these services, you know, kind of weave the fabric of support for our, you know, most vulnerable residents. And, you know, when they're looking at, you know, how am I going to survive if my Medicaid gets cut, if my Social Security gets cut, if my housing gets cut, right? Yeah. So even if, you know, sort of absent one particular area of impact, there are other areas of impact. So, you know, there are multiple challenges that our residents face that, you know, we want to figure out how to partner with them to keep housing stable.
Well, and that is the senior population. That's scary enough. Mm-hmm. I know that part of your mission is to provide housing for workforce folks who cannot afford market rates for rent or home purchase. Mm-hmm. What percentage of your residents are workforce folks, and how are you looking ahead for them?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, Earnesy is one of one of our best properties. I can't say, I mean, they're all my favorite. They're all my favorite kids, right?
where's Earnesy?
Earnesy is behind Island Lumber, right? If you kind of keep going, you turn into Island Lumber and you keep going, it's back there. And there are a lot of folks there who are more at the 80% area median income, which kind of starts to be your threshold for workforce housing. 80% to basically 120% is sort of what you might group as quote unquote workforce housing. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of folks back there in Earnesy that are kind of workforce housing. And of course, the community land trusts, the home ownership, right?
Right.
If you can afford, home ownership, you may be sort of more thought of as in the workforce housing. But a lot of the folks in our CLTs, community land trusts, as we call them, bought a while ago, right? Bought maybe 15 years ago when they were active in the workforce and are now actually aging into our senior homeownership population, which, you know, that's important to understand how do we transition them through this during, you know, again, all of the potential cuts. But kind of go back to workforce housing, I would say that's more on the horizon for
us. And we've certainly been talking to some of the bigger employers on the island to understand their needs. And I think there's a need for more rental housing for workforce.
Do you think that those employers can provide some subsidies?
We're talking. We're all talking.
Okay, yeah. As we're already running out of time, we've got about 2 minutes left. Okay. What do you see as, what are the plans for Vashon Household's future?
I think that is a work in progress. We are just, yeah. Amy's just getting on board right now and has some great ideas. But the big thing, and one of the reasons that we hired Amy in the first place, is I think she understood that we need to fundraise for anything we do.
Yeah,
and so our big plan right now is to fundraise, because we can't really do anything new. No new developments until we understand what the funding horizon is in terms of the federal funding, state funding, but also we've always needed to up our goals with fundraising.
So you need the community to step up.
Yeah, we have some significant challenges in terms of fundraising, in terms of our current maintenance needs that we need to fulfill, our current financing needs that we need to fulfill. So we will be asking the community to engage with us very deeply to meet our current challenges as well as what's on the horizon.
Do you have any kind of volunteer force to help you with that, with maintenance?
Oh, with maintenance.
Or yeah, with anything for that.
We're talking about that.
We are. We are. It's tricky. We are subject to a lot of regulation.
I'm sure.
Right. So we absolutely would love to build sort of a robust core, I think, of folks who can help us pitch in and keep things as great as we can keep them for our residents.
You guys amaze me. Listeners, dear listeners, you've been listening to Ann Atwell, the president of the Vashon Household Board, and Amy Dreyer, Vashon Household's brand new executive director, as they navigate through a huge crossroads in what's going to happen for affordable housing here on Vashon Island at a time when we desperately need it. Thank you both for being here, and thank you so much for your hard work. Thank you for listening, folks. Stay tuned to Voice of Vashon. You never know what might happen next.